Welcome to Near Death Experience Podcast. I'm Chaz Hathaway. Today we're going to share the experience of Christine from the Near Death Experience Research Foundation website. Christine says, "It happened in August 29th on Friday afternoon, 1997. I stood with a shovel on the slope along the east side of my home where I had been digging up grass to start a new garden. I stopped for a while and leaned against my shovel while thinking of the wonderful conversation I had with a doctor that morning. Then something got my full attention. It happened to me before. And it was a buzzing or ringing sound right before all sound disappeared. I was quite aware of the complete silence as if nothing else existed. Time, too, had changed. It became slowed down or stopped. I felt soothed and completely focused by the silence. I strongly felt that it was an invitation to come on a journey. Feeling more curious than alarmed about what would happen next, I let myself fall forward. My world disappeared, or maybe I did, and I began falling through a blackness that quickly turned into super fast moving streaks of brilliant colored light. The ride was smooth despite the speed that I was falling at. I felt invigorated and was without fear. To me, it was an adventure, and I looked forward to what would happen next. What happened next is a little hard to describe. I was through the tunnel and suddenly landed and watching the creation and birth of everything, earth to planets and animals, one right after the other. It was shown in such an extreme fast forward that my eyes became fast so that I could view it all. I remember a seed then suddenly had roots which spread furiously fast through the soil, and then its life force pushed through the and petals unfolded to become the most beautiful red rose. I noticed the color was more vibrant as if it had a life as well. The flower seemed to grow from seed to complete flower in less than a second. It was like seeing everything born from conception to birth in the blink of an eye. I cannot say in words what it was truly all like. The colors I was seeing had evolved from dark hues of blacks, grays, and browns to blues, greens, and then reds and yellows. Next, I found myself in a room. The room was filled with sumptuous pillows where I sat down and was treated to a show. I can only describe it as being inside a gigantic kaleidoscope where the colorful images were changing designs rapidly, all breathtaking. Afterwards, feeling very drowsy, I quickly fell asleep on the soft pillows. In the next moment, I was wakened up in a placid blackness in space. There were tiny pinholes of starlight giving the impression of floating in outer space. I felt well rested and very calm after what seemed like a long sleep. I looked over to see myself in the distance. I watched myself wake up. The self I watched was curled up in a fetal position. When I became aware that I could move about freely, I opened up and gently floated downward through the night above a new place while I waited for the sun to rise. I am now in a flower garden, a large and very crowded mass of colors in full bloom. The flowers were very tall and looked beautifully old world. This garden was the perfect greeting to the house it belonged to. It was a happy garden. It was alive with a childlike excitement. Here, my physical body was now completely gone. I was light and getting smaller, but becoming much more than before. I could fly all about the garden. My vision was extraordinary, and I could zoom in on the tiniest details. I felt very natural here, and the garden's joy made me feel like I belonged. There was always the me with the body, although not seen, watching the other me, a small ball of light, while experiencing everything the other did. I took notice of the flowers, of how they were alive and they were immersed in a love that was pure. To this day, I can cry thinking of it. The garden's colors were also alive with hues that made every other color at home dull. The flowers moved as if a gentle wind always was present. It was sunny, but the sun never hurt my eyes. The temperature was perfect, and I felt a sense of well-being as I never have. The sun lit up the petals and wings, making them transparent, and I would fly in to enjoy the intricate designs, like I did inside the kaleidoscope. The garden was entertaining me, and I felt not only love and joy there, but also a sense of fun. My ears could make out each bird and insect, but there was a particular sound, a buzzing, that was actually becoming obnoxious in its impatience for my attention. I flew to it and was face to face with a big fat bumblebee. It went into a flower and then suddenly was blown out by a tremendous explosion of pollen. I could see each tiny grain floating in slow motion. The expression on the bumblebee's face was hilarious, like it had the best sensation ever. It looked me straight in the eyes, smiled, and flew off as I laughed out loud. The garden felt like the entire universe and everything it held I could see in a single dewdrop on a flower's petal. I thanked God for letting me come here. I was having such a great time that I would have been content to stay and explore more. But then I felt Him. I flew above and watched as the boy entered the garden path. The boy appeared to be around 14 years of age. He walked along a stone path which went through the center of a large flower garden and ended up at the front door to the house. He wore a high blue-gray jacket that looked like velvet with shiny buttons down the front. I could see white ruffles of his shirt sticking out the jacket sleeves. His pants matched the jacket and were cuffed around his knees. He wore long pale stockings and dark brown leather shoes, which appeared well worn. The shoes had brass knuckles, and the sunlight bounced off of them as he walked. The longish brown curls moved gently and framed his smiling and radiant face. He carried a bouquet of flowers that he picked from the garden elsewhere. Despite his age, he had a confidence and sureness about him. The boy was happy and humming a song that sounded old and silly. The faster he walked, the faster he hummed, and it made me smile. He did not seem to notice me flying around him or the other me watching it from another place. As he entered the garden, the flowers were taller than he, and they were very excited by his presence. They truly loved this boy. I followed him closely and realized I could feel his joy. As we came closer to the front door, I noticed I became an invisible nothingness that could go through walls and even the boy. I felt incredibly light, and every thought I had was good and beautiful. There wasn't the ticking of time passing, and it would slow down or go backwards so that I could take in every detail. The girl lived in a charming country home that looked like it belonged in Europe, perhaps France. The house looked like light-colored stone bleached by the sun. The door was centered with a large window on both sides. The walls were thick and windows set deep. The second-floor windows were much smaller, and I noticed wooden shutters aged a beautiful bronze. The front door was a thing of beauty, with its solid craftsmanship and its layer of paint, of pale paint. I noticed a delicate webbing and texture that I had to fly up close to study it. The door reminded me of seashells as well, Adorning the door was an oval brass door knocker where I saw the boy's reflection in it as he went to use it. Time could go backwards, so I could watch the boy approach the garden and feel the wonderful feelings all over again. We again got to the door, knocked, and we went excitedly for it to open. And we waited excitedly for it to open. The boy went in through the door, but I followed through the wall. The inside of the house was filled with sunlight and colors much like the garden. I noticed several vases of fresh-cut flowers throughout the large room. The furniture was beautifully crafted and covered in materials of floral designs and cheery colors. My eyes then looked toward the back right side of the room at the bottom of the stairs, and I saw the girl. She was small and petite, looked about 13 or 14. She looked so lovely in her long, pale yellow satin dress fitted to her tiny waist. A matching colored ribbon was tied about her head, where long ringlets of light brown jumped around her shoulders. Her face really glowed and seemed transparent like the petals lit up by the sun. I felt with her the same as the boy, and can only describe it as a pure joy. The girl's mother was standing close by her, and it was she who opened the door. I could not feel this woman's feelings, and although she seemed happy or pleased for her daughter, I noticed she was somewhat worried, but hid it from the girl, who could barely contain her excitement. The girl ran down the steps to answer the door. Her mother didn't seem to think it was ladylike for the girl to have answered the door. We watched again the boy through the front window as he happily walked the garden path towards the door. I then felt for the first time a dread, and my eyes darted to the room on the left, which I only now noticed. It was a darkened room, but I could make out a man sitting in a chair, looking out the other front window, watching the boy come closer. The chair was facing away from me, so I could only see part of his head. My vision was blurry towards this room, not at all like the super clear vision everywhere else. Very reluctantly, I was about to go into this room, but something stopped me. The sudden urgency of time rushed in quickly, so I put the dark feeling away, and I moved back to the girl as the boy knocked, and the door was opened. The girl took in a deep breath as she opened the door. So did I. When the boy and girl finally were face to face, they didn't say one word. Instead, I felt everything they said. I felt every emotion of both of them and went back in time again, this time with her so I could feel her emotions and watch through the window as he approached the garden. We both could barely contain our joy and ran down the stairs as he was about to knock. I watched them as they looked at each other with young smiles. Suddenly, I was inside the boy, seeing her through his eyes and also looking at him through her eyes. I then saw both their reflections looking back at me. What I felt then, or what I felt next, was simultaneously going through both of them and feeling their love. Then it was time to be rushed back to where I was before, standing on a slope, leaning against my shovel. When I looked around, I was amazed how my vision still seemed clearer and the grass a much more vibrant green. I could see individual blades of grass which moved as if alive. Distant and close sounds of insects and birds seemed clearer and harmonious. I felt incredible and energetic. I felt happy, but also sad. After a while, the colors went normal, but horribly dull compared to that garden. Everything here is dull and dark in comparison. I did feel the presence of something much greater than us during my out-of-body experience. That is the end of Christine's experience. It's interesting that hers is another experience where there is apparently no, well, I guess there's no death involved. it kind of sounded like she fell forward in the first case at the beginning, as if she passed out or something. But then when she comes back, she says she was standing on a slope, leaning against my shovel, which makes me think that maybe she left her body while she was leaning against her shovel. Now, some people might say, well, it's not a near-death experience because she didn't die. But everything else seems to fit. The feelings, the abilities that she has. And also, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounded like at first she was in a spirit body form and kind of looking around, walking around. And, you know, once she got to the garden anyway, because she says she went through a tunnel, suddenly landed, watching the creation and birth of everything, earth to plants to animals, okay, which itself is an incredible experience. And then she sees everything growing and plants growing and so forth. And then this is interesting because this is the second time this week, if I'm not mistaken, that we come across sleep on the other side. This seems very rare. And I've only, like I said, I think twice, maybe three times in all of the experience that I've read, found anything that hints at sleep. And this is the first one that I can find where the time of going to sleep and waking up is not waking up in the body. So it's like they're going to sleep and then they wake up in another state in the spirit world. At least that's the way it seems. You know, unless this is a situation of dreams mixing with a near-death experience. But I don't think it is. It doesn't seem to fit that. And I've only come across that occasionally as well. But anyway, she's seeing this creation scene of growth and plants and animals and everything just growing up. And then she says, next, I found myself in a room and it's full of sumptuous pillows where I sat down and was treated to a show. She has kind of this kaleidoscope show that she watches, and it's all breathtaking, she says. Afterwards, feeling drowsy, I quickly fell asleep on the soft pillows. And there's the sleep, which is interesting. And then she says, in the next moment, I was waking up in a placid darkness in space. There were tiny pinholes of starlight, giving the impression of floating in outer space. And at this point, let me just scan here. I don't remember her. Yeah, she says here, she finds herself in a garden. She says here, my physical body was now completely gone. I was light and getting smaller, but becoming much more than before. Wow, this experience provides data points for a few things. One, sleep being something on the other side. Probably not a necessary thing. Probably not something that's required like it is here, but something that's available, something that's possible. And the interesting thing is, if I'm reading this right, and it is confusing because it's in first person, third person, and universal person, which is terribly confusing, but this is her experience. This is what she's experiencing. And having multiple points of view on the other side seems rather common. But she is in this state where, as far as I can tell, she's in some kind of body form, spirit body form, which is why she curls up in the pillows. Or she doesn't say curl. Well, she says that her body is in a fetal position on the pillows, I gather. And she's watching. She goes in, she's in this pillow room, watches this kaleidoscope-like show where there's colors and images, very breathtaking, beautiful images. And afterward, she's drowsy, falls asleep on the pillows, and then finds herself as a formless light or formless, unseeable entity of sorts, some kind of... And if you've heard the episode where I talk about the conscious intelligence, it's something that I don't know if it's fair to say I came up with the idea, because, I mean, clearly there's something going on here, and, you know, so it's, I can't say I invented it or anything, but because there seems to be two different types of existences in the spirit world, that being this conscious, bodiless, formless entity of sorts, of conscious intelligence, where it's just consciousness with intelligence, where there's, you're aware and you're still an individual, but you can completely blend and merge and so forth so easily, complete oneness with things and so forth. But then in the spirit body form, you're able to feel and touch and smell and taste. And maybe you are in the conscious intelligence form too, I don't know. But I gather that there are two forms that we take on in the spirit world. And it looks like her spirit body goes to sleep and she comes forth as a conscious intelligence who, if I'm understanding this right, is able to look back and see her spirit body. And if I'm not mistaken, and I could be, but I don't think she's looking back and seeing her physical body on this physical plane that is leaning against a shovel right now in some kind of meditative state, I imagine. So this trifold nature of our existence, I think that's what I called the podcast where I talk more about that, the trifold nature of our existence. It's a theory. I don't know if it's true, but here's a data point that points that direction a little bit. Very interesting. Very interesting. And so then she goes through. She finds herself in this intelligence form, seeing the garden and interacting with a bumblebee. And she's just laughing about this. And it's kind of funny because she says, I laughed out loud. If you don't have a body, not even a spirit form body, what does that look like? What is that? Or is there a sound? Is it just a thought? I don't know. But there's obviously communication, and the communication was a laugh. You know, she's just delighted seeing this bumblebee having the best day ever as this flower is just shooting pollen at it. You know, like, here you go. And then she finds herself with these two young people, which haven't discovered each other yet. But then, and this is interesting too, she's able to go back and forward in time to see him approaching, or her approaching. Now I forget which order it was in. I think he's approaching the house and she's inside the house. You know, he sees her at the door. She sees him at the door knocker. And then she goes back in time and sees him coming toward the house. And then she goes into the house and sees her, the girl. And then when they meet, she goes back in time and watches them. What? Going back in time? You know, in the spirit world, going back and seeing. It's like she's got full range of all perspectives from all time periods of this scenario. Now, who is this little boy and this little girl? I don't know. All we know is it looks like some kind of European house and clothes, France, you know, something. Is this a situation where she's seeing maybe somebody from somebody's life review, or is she in the spirit world and this is happening in the spirit world? Maybe these two, you know, the boy just died and now he's headed to the house. I don't know. She doesn't seem to know either. All she knows is that when she's there, she kind of becomes one with them and is able to feel each other's feelings, see each other from each of their perspectives, which again seems to be something that's unique to, I say unique, but it seems to be more common, let me put it that way, to this conscious intelligence form. Very interesting. What? You know, but so cool. And so next thing she knows, after this, she's back at her home in her garden, leaning on a shovel. Wow. Interesting. I find this fascinating. So if you would like to contact the podcast either to share your experience, ask a question, or just share a comment, you can do so by emailing neardeathexperiencepodcast@gmail.com or by calling 970-NDE-CAST. You can support the podcast by becoming a monthly contributor by going to patreon.com/NDEcast. And you can see all of our past shows. I make sure that they are all available on neardeathexperiencepodcast.org. I believe we are probably hitting about 150 episodes now, so there should be plenty to go back to. And for those of you that have either gone back and heard them all or who have been with us from the beginning, thank you. Thank you for being with us. Share the podcast with your friends. Share it with people, especially if there's a particular episode that you think that might help somebody who's struggling either with life or with grief or, you know, just whatever it is. Because I'm finding that in my studies of these things, our life here has purpose, it has meaning, and our life beyond is glorious. And I mean, it's like we're here for this great mission, which is hard and challenging and exciting and adventurous. And then we go to this other place that is beautiful and exciting and adventurous and educational beyond anything we can experience in this life. It's like, man, life is awesome for us as spirits, as individuals, when we know this stuff. It doesn't make life itself get rid of its challenges by any means, but it certainly gives us something to hold to, something to look forward to, and something to consider in our day-to-day lives, not to mention give us more reason to be kind and loving and service-oriented toward each other. So with that, thank you all of you so much again for listening.